In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are offering you a Lenten pilgrimage with the Fathers of the Church. And as you know from attending Lenten Masses and Pastures as well, very often these weekday sermons are a brief instruction rather than a firmer exhortation that you might find on a Sunday. Such is the case today with this somewhat mysterious gospel. We say mysterious, and rightly so, because the fathers found it to be so as well. For in their interpretations, East and West part in slightly different directions. Although these directions are very much in accord with one another, we shall see that there are two different ways of reading today's gospel, specifically the very mysterious words of our Lord found in John 8:25. Here, I must say that we should perhaps give some deference to the fathers of the East. The Greek fathers, after all, were reading this in their own language, and it, of course, was the inspired language. The gospel, all the New Testament, was written in Greek. That is the language in which the Holy Spirit deigned to speak to men. Therefore, when it concerns certain passages, certain verses where the very words are more difficult to interpret, we should often give deference to the Greek fathers because they were, after all, reading it in their own language and, of course, knew their language better than we do. And it concerns especially this mysterious verse 8:25, but I will read it to you in this context. If we look at a very literal translation according to the Greek, we can perhaps place ourselves somewhat in the position of the Greek fathers when they first encountered this passage of St. John. Again and again, our Lord speaks to the Jews in chapter 8 until finally he will reveal himself by the divine name at the close of chapter 8. This passage, which comes shortly after what we are reading today, is reserved for Passion Sunday, and we will hear John chapter 8 again. For today, I will read to you this short passage as it would be literally translated from the Greek. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "I go and you will seek me, and in your sin you will die. Where I go, you cannot come." The Jews, therefore, kept saying, "Will he kill himself, since he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" And he said to them, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sin." They therefore said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Why do I speak to you in the first place? I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and the things that I heard from him, these I speak in the world. And they did not understand that he was speaking to them about the Father. Jesus therefore said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, that of myself I do nothing, but as the Father taught me, these things do I speak. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I do always the things that are pleasing to him." The one controverted phrase here is when the Jews ask him, "Who are you?" It is precisely the same phrase that they use early in the gospel when they interrogate John the Baptist. John the Baptist, of course, replies that he is not the Christ. Here they ask our Lord, "Who are you?" And he responds in a phrase which is difficult to interpret, but of course the Greek fathers, reading it in their own language, interpreted it naturally enough. Very literally, it would be translated as a question. They ask him, and he responds saying, "Why do I speak to you in the first place?" If we look at the greatest commentator on the Gospel of St. John, in the Greek language, St. John Chrysostom, who was a contemporary of St. Augustine, we hear his interpretation, which I will read briefly. They ask, "Who are you? Such a lack of understanding. After such a long time, with all his signs and teaching, they still ask, who are you? What then does Christ say? Why do I speak to you in the first place? What he is saying is, you are not worthy to hear my words at all, much less to learn who I am. For everything you say is an attempt to tempt me. But you have not even listened to one of the things I have said. All these things I am now able to prove against you." The reason why this passage is mysterious is because when it is translated into the Latin and comes down in our Holy Latin Version, which in this passage St. Jerome did not touch but simply left as it was traditionally rendered, it could be taken in another way. And indeed, most of the Latin fathers do that, including our great St. Augustine, who comments today in the breviary. The word for "in the first place" is translated in Latin as principium, which is ambiguous. It could be taken in multiple ways. However, the Latin fathers are pretty much in accord in understanding it in a more mysterious way, which is why you find, for instance, if you have a Douay Rheims Bible, it will be translated there. When they ask him, "Who are you?" he responds, "The beginning, who also speak to you." Such a powerful impression did this make on the Christians of the West that we find even this morning at the morning office of Lauds, the antiphon is this very verse of the scripture, and the chant of it, the melody, is actually borrowed from Christmas, so that it is the first mode which we would hear at Christmas Vespers, recalling that verse because it sounds very much like the great messianic psalm, Psalm 109, speaking of the beginning and the Christ being there at the beginning and all power being with him at the beginning. But as St. Augustine then, commenting on this verse, then goes on to say, he makes a great point of the fact that Christ responds with this word "beginning." For he himself was the beginning, he said. Of course, we find that at the beginning of John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and at the beginning of all the scriptures, indeed, all the fathers are in agreement that when Moses, inspired by the Spirit, wrote down, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," this means, of course, in Christ, for Christ is the beginning. This is indeed profoundly true, even if this is very much an expansion on how we would understand this passage in the original Greek. Both of these interpretations, even if we might say in the end that the Greeks are interpreting more literally, and the Latins here, according and making a part of sacred tradition to expand on this in a very true way, they are certainly in accord as to the meaning of the passage as a whole. With that then, I will conclude with two of the fathers then, first with Augustine, who's speaking about what is meant here, this revelation of the divine name, which will not come yet. It is not yet the hour of Jesus, as John frequently reminds us. And so this divine name, which he hints at today by continuing to say, "I am," without adding anything afterwards, he simply says, "You will know that I am." I am who? It does not say. For that, in fact, is his name, the divine name. I am who am. It is only when he shall be lifted up, says St. Augustine, when it is appropriate, he says, then you shall know who I am. Not that all who heard him were only then to believe, that is, after the Lord's Passion. For a little after, it is said, as he spoke these words, many believed in him, and the Son of Man was not yet lifted up. But the lifting up he is speaking of is that of his Passion, not of his glorification, his lifting up on the cross, not his lifting up into heaven. For he was exalted there also when he hung on the tree, but that exaltation was his humiliation, for then he became obedient even unto the death of the cross. And finally, to conclude with one other father, again from the East, coming just one generation later, Cyril of Alexandria, the great successor to St. Athanasius. Here Jesus is saying, since you are looking only to the flesh, you believe that I am merely a man, and you suppose that I am just like you. But the dignity and the glory of the Godhead does not even enter your mind. However, you shall know that I am God of true God and light of light through your dreadful and lawless act, my death on the cross. For when you see your mad foolishness come to nothing and the snare of death crushed in pieces, for I shall surely rise from the dead, ultimately you will be forced, even against your will, to agree with what I have said, and you shall confess that I am God by nature. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.